الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. الحديث السادس عشر من الأربعين النووية عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رجلا قال للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أوصني، قال لا تغضب، فردد مرارا قال لا تغضب. رواه البخاري. قال الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله: الغضب والرضا خصلتان وسجيتان طبع عليهما الإنسان لفائدة ومصلحة، فالذي لا يغضب يكون ناقصا، لكن لا بد أن يستعمل الغضب في محله، فإن تجاوز محله ضر، فالغضب نقيض الرضا، وهو سجية وخصلة مطبوع عليها الإنسان، ينتج عنها في الإنسان غليان الدم في القلب وانتفاخ الأوداج، مما يؤدي بصاحبه إلى إرادة الانتقام ممن غضب عليه. وما منا أحد لا يغضب، لكن العاقل والمؤمن يتصرف في غضبه ولا ينفذه، وأما الأحمق والجاهل فقد يحمله الغضب على أشياء مذمومة كالقتل والجرح أو الكلام السيء أو قطيعة الرحم، فالغضب يحمل الإنسان على مهالك إلا إذا استعمله استعمالا حسنا في محله، فإنه يسلم من شره. وهذا الرجل طلب من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يوصيه بوصية تنفعه، فقال له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تغضب، كأن الرجل استقل هذه الوصية، لذلك كرر على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، وفي كل مرة يقول له لا تغضب، ولم يزد على ذلك، فما الحكمة؟ قال بعض أهل العلم: لعل هذا الرجل كان معروفا بالغضب، والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يجيب كل إنسان بحسب حالته، فأوصاه الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم وخصه بهذه الوصية لعلمه بحاله، وهي وصية له ولغيره، فكل إنسان مطلوب منه ألا يغضب لما يترتب على الغضب من الأضرار. ما منا أحد لا يجد في نفسه شيئا من الغضب، ولكن الإنسان المؤمن العاقل يأخذ بالحلم، لأن الله عز وجل يقول في صفات المؤمنين: وإذا ما غضبوا هم يغفرون. لم يقل لا يغضبون، بل قال: وإذا ما غضبوا هم يغفرون. فيغفر الإنسان ويحلم، هذا هو المطلوب. ولهذا قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: ليس الشديد بالسرعة، يعني القوي الذي يصرع الناس، هذا ليس شديدا، الشديد الذي يملك نفسه عند الغضب، هذا هو الشديد القوي الذي يملك نفسه عند الغضب. والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يغضب لكنه لا ينفذ، إلا إذا كان الغضب لله عز وجل، فكان صلى الله عليه وسلم حليما لا ينتقم لنفسه أبدا رغم ما لاقى من الأذى من الناس. أما إذا انتهكت محارم الله جل وعلا فإنه يغضب لله لا لنفسه. وهكذا المؤمن يقتدي بالرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يغضب لنفسه، بل يحلم ويغفر ويحسن إلى من أغضبه، لقوله تعالى: فمن عفا وأصلح فأجره على الله. فهذا هو علاج الغضب أولا: مهما أمكن أنك لا تغضب. ثانيا: إذا غضبت فلا تنفذ، بل عليك بالصبر والتحمل والحلم.
الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه. سمعنا هذا الشرح المختصر المفيد الذي أودعه الشيخ صالح فوزان كتابه شرح الأربعين النووية، وخلاصته أن الغضب من طبيعة الإنسان البشري، لكن ينظر إلى أسباب الغضب، فإن من الغضب ما يكون محمود وفاعله مثاب، ومنه ما يجب أن يحذر منه الإنسان ليحفظ نفسه دينه وأخلاقه. فالغضب الذي يثاب فاعله ما كان في ذات الله تبارك وتعالى، إذا انتهكت محارم الله أو اعتدي على الإسلام كمن يسبون الإسلام والأهل العلم، فإذا غضب الإنسان في هذا المقام وبين وحذر وأنذر فهو مثاب ويغضب ويؤجر على غضبه، وإن كان الغضب لذات الإنسان لشخصه فلا يخلو من أغضبه إما أن يكون من سفهاء الناس أهل الاعتداء والاحتقار للإسلام والمسلمين، فلا حرج أن ينتقم منه في حدود الشرع بقدر ما أساء. وعلى هذا المعنى ينطبق قول الله تبارك وتعالى: والذين إذا أصابهم البغي هم ينتصرون، أي بغى عليهم السفهاء إما على دينهم وإما على أعراضهم إما على دمائهم، ينتصرون منهم ولا يعفون عنهم، لأن الله مدح المنتصر من سفهاء القوم الذين إذا تركوا ازدادوا في غيهم وفي اعتداءاتهم على المسلمين. إذا جاء في سياق المدح للمؤمنين: والذين إذا أصابهم البغي هم ينتصرون. وأما بالنسبة للمؤمنين فقد يغضب بعضهم بعضا، فهنا يستحب ويستحسن ويندب في حق المعتدى عليه أن يصبر ويتحمل ويعفو ويصفح ويعلم بما أقدره الله عز وجل عليه، لأن الله مدح المؤمنين بقوله: أذلة على المؤمنين أعزة على الكافرين. ومعنى أذل على المؤمنين أن يتواضعون لهم ويعفون عنهم ويصفحون فيكسبوا الأجر الوفير ويريح أنفسهم من الدخول في الأذى الذي يترتب على الغضب الذي يثيره الشيطان ويدفع الإنسان إليه دفعا. فما كل غضب يكون مذموم وما كل غضب يكون ممدوحا، وإنما وضع الشيء في محله هو الممدوح وصاحبه مثاب عليه.
كمل الحديث الثاني. الحديث السابع عشر عن أبي يعلى شداد بن أوس رضي الله تعالى عنه عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: إن الله كتب الإحسان على كل شيء، فإذا قتلتم فأحسنوا القتلة، وإذا ذبحتم فأحسنوا الذبح وليحد أحدكم شفرته وليرح ذبيحته. رواه مسلم. قال الشيخ صالح بن الفوزان حفظه الله: قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن الله كتب الإحسان، كتب يعني أوجب، والله تعالى أوجب الإحسان على كل شيء، ومنه هذه المسائل: فإذا قتلتم فأحسنوا القتلة، وإذا ذبحتم فأحسنوا الذبح. والإحسان يكون بين العبد وبين ربه، وبين العبد وبين الناس، وبين العبد وبين البهائم. أما الإحسان بين العبد وبين ربه فهو أعلى مراتب الدين، وذلك بأن يعبد ربه كأنه يشاهده ولا يشرك به شيئا، ويخافه ويرجوه. وقد سبق في حديث جبريل أنه سأل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الإحسان فقال له: الإحسان أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه، فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. هذا إحسان بين العبد وبين ربه، ومعناه إتقان العبادة. يقال: أحسن الشيء إذا أتقنه، أحسن الصنعة إذا أتقنها. فأنت تتقن العبادة فيما بينك وبين الله عز وجل بالإخلاص لله سبحانه والمتابعة للرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. أما الإحسان فيما بين العبد وبين الناس فيكون بمكافأته محسنهم، وتجاوزه عن مسيئهم، وتصدقه على محتاجهم، فيحسن إليهم بالقول وبالفعل، ويتعامل معهم التعامل الحسن، ويتقن المعاملة معهم كما أمر الله ورسوله. وكذلك الإحسان بين الناس وبين الإنسان وبين البهائم، بأن يطعم جائعها، ويسقي العطشان منها، ويخفف عنها الألم، وإذا أصابها ألم يعالجها. هذا بالنسبة إلى البهائم التي لا تؤذي، حتى الكلاب. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: بينما كلب يطيف بركية قد كاد يقتله العطش، إذ رأته بغي من بغايا بني إسرائيل، فنزعت موقها فسقته فغفر لها به. والبغي الزانية، والزنا أعظم وأقبح الجرائم بعد الشرك. وفي رواية أخرى: بينما رجل يمشي فاشتد عليه العطش، فنزل بئرا فشرب منها، ثم خرج فإذا هو بكلب يلهث يأكل الثرى من العطش. فقال: لقد بلغ هذا مثل الذي بلغ بي، فملأ خفه ثم أمسكه بفيه، ثم رقى فسقى الكلب فشكر الله له فغفر له. قالوا: يا رسول الله، وإن لنا في البهائم أجرا. قال: في كل كبد رطبة أجر. فالواجب أن تحسن إلى البهائم كما تحسن إلى الناس. قوله: إذا قتلتم بقصاص أو بحد فأحسنوا القتلة، فإذا استحق أحد من الناس القتل بقصاص أو بحد فإنه يحسن إليه في قتله، ولا يعذب بعد القتل، ولا يقتل بآلة كالة أو آلة تعذبه، بل يسرع القاتل بقتله، ويجهز عليه بالقتل دون أن يشق عليه أو يعذب في القتل، لأن تعذيبه ظلم لا يجوز، أما قتله فهو مشروع، فينفذ بأسهل ما يمكن، حتى ولو كان كافرا يستحق القتل لكفره، فلا يعذب عند قتله، بل يجهز عليه ويقتل بسرعة. فقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم: فإذا قتلتم فأحسنوا القتلة، هذا عام للكافر وغيره. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: وإذا ذبحتم، الحيوانات التي يشرع ذبحها أو يباح ذبحها، إذا ذبحتموها للعبادة أو للأكل، أو ذبحتموها لدفع أذاها كالسباع والكلب العقور، فأحسنوا الذبح، فلا تعذب المذبوح بأن تجره إلى القتل جرا، أو تجر الذبيحة من آذانها، أو تذبحها بآلة كالة، أو تطرحها على الأرض ثم تؤخر ذبحها وتتشاغل عنها وأنت ممسكها، فهذا لا يجوز، لأنه تعذيب لها. والواجب أن تذبحها بأسهل ما يكون، وإذا ذبحتها لا تسرع بتقطيعها قبل أن تموت، اصبر إلى أن تموت وتبرد، فما دام فيها حركة وفيها روح لا تجمع عليها العذاب، عذاب الموت وعذاب التقطيع، بل تتركها إلى أن تموت. وكذلك من إحسان الذبح أن تكون عارفا بكيفية الذبح، فلا يأتي جاهل يريد أن يتعلم بالحيوان ويعذبه، فلا يذبح إلا من يتقن الذبح ويعرف كيفيته. ثم قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: وليحد أحدكم شفرته. الشفرة سواء كانت للقتل كالسيف أو كانت للذبح كالسكين، يجب أن تكون حادة حتى تقطع بسرعة. قال: وليرح ذبيحته، يعني يذبحها على صفة مريحة لا يجرها جراء، ولا يضربها قبل الذبح، ولا يطل في إمساكها، بل يبادر بذبحها حتى تستريح. فهذا مما أوجبه الله تعالى، وهذا من محاسن هذا الدين، أنه دين الإحسان، وليس هو دين الإساءة أو الانتقام بدون حق.
وفي هذا الحديث سمعنا ما سطره الشيخ حفظه الله بما يتعلق بالإحسان، الذي هو المرتبة الثالثة من مراتب الدين الإسلامي الحنيف، مرتبة الإسلام ومرتبة الإيمان ومرتبة الإحسان. فمرتبة الإحسان أخص من مرتبة الإيمان وأعلى، وهكذا مرتبة الإيمان أعلى من مرتبة الإسلام، وكلها نور وهدى. الإسلام والإيمان والإحسان أطلق عليها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنها الدين، في قوله في حديث جبريل المشهور: هذا جبريل أتاكم يعلمكم دينكم. بعد أن جرت الأسئلة عن الإسلام وأركانه والإيمان وأركانه والإحسان، ولأهمية الإحسان جاءت الوصية به في القرآن الكريم وفي السنة المطهرة. أما في القرآن فإن الله تبارك وتعالى قال: وأحسنوا إن الله يحب المحسنين، وكفي بذلك أجرا عظيما، حيث رتب الله محبته على فعل الإحسان بما تحمل كلمة الإحسان من معنى. وقال سبحانه: وأحسن كما أحسن الله إليك. وهكذا وصى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بالإحسان. والإحسان له مقامان: المقام الأول الكامل، وهو ما ذكره النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بقوله: أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه، أي أن تعبده كأنك تشاهده. ومن يعبد الله وكأنه يراه فإنه يحسن العبادة ويتقنها إتقانا لا مزيد عليه. والمقام الثاني دون الأول، وقد بينه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بقوله: فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك، أي تعبد الله تبارك وتعالى وأنت مؤمن بأنه يراك ويشاهدك، فتستحي أن تخل بشيء مما كلفك به أو تقع في محرم نهاك الله عز وجل عنه. والإحسان يكون في العقيدة وفي العمل، فإحسان العقيدة أي إحسان الأعمال الباطنة المسمى بأعمال القلوب، يحسن فيها، يحسن النية، ويحسن في الرجاء والخوف والخشية ونحو ذلك من أعمال القلوب، ويحسن في الأعمال الظاهرة يؤديها كما أمر الله عز وجل وشرع رسوله عليه الصلاة والسلام من صلاة وزكاة وصوم وحج وأمر بالمعروف ونهي عن المنكر وجهاد في سبيل الله، في مقدمته جهاد النفس وطلب للعلم وذكر لله تبارك وتعالى، يحسن في كل ما تعبدنا الله عز وجل به على سبيل الوجوب أو على سبيل الندب. فيقبل الله عز وجل عبادته ويرتب على ذلك محبته، ويحسن فيما بينه وبين الخلق بأداء الحقوق المشروعة سواء وجوبا أو استحبابا، وكل ذلك يترتب عليه محبة الله تبارك وتعالى لمن أحسن إلى عباد الله. وخير ما يحسن به إلى عباد الله تعليمهم العلم النافع الذي هو حياة الإنسان في دنياه وبرزخه وأخرى. فمن نشر العلم فهو مجاهد وهو محسن، بشرط أن يكون مؤهلا لذلك، كل بحسب ما عنده من العلم لا يتجاوز ما علمه، وله الأجر في ذلك. ولو علم الناس فاتحة الكتاب وكيفية الطهارة وكيفية الصلاة محتسبا الأجر عند الله لكان من أهل الإحسان، وله من الله عز وجل الجزاء الأوفى، ومن ذلك محبته لمن أحسن إلى نفسه وأحسن إلى غيره.
هذا، وصلى الله وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه، وبعد. So we begin with the hadith number 16. Hadith number 16. And before that, just to mention to the brothers and sisters that when the line was cutting off, the Sheikh San was reading from the explanation of Sheikh Saleh Fawzan. So alhamdulillah, we have not missed anything because he was reading through the sharh, and then the Sheikh Zayd Hafidhullah, he comments on what Sheikh Saleh Fawzan said. So alhamdulillah, even though the line was cutting off, but we still have got everything. So hadith number 16, on the authority of Abu Hurairah, may Allah be pleased with him, that a man said to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, advise me. He said to him, do not get angry. So the man asked him several times, advise me, and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeated, do not get angry. Narrated by Imam al-Bukhari. So Sheikh Saleh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, says in his commentary on this hadith that anger and pleasure are two attributes and two things which are the people, يعني, they are brought, يعني, they are created upon. These things, يعني, are natural in the people. And both of them are for benefit and for, يعني, for greater good. So the person who does not get angry, this person is deficient. The person who does not get angry, then this person is deficient. However, the anger should be used in its correct place. The anger should be used in its correct place and precision. So if it exceeds its limit, then it becomes harmful. And anger is the opposite of pleasure. Anger is the opposite of pleasure. And it is something which the person is created upon. So something that is natural to him. And this anger causes the person's blood to boil, and also it causes him to يعني, for his cheeks to swell up. Yes, and this would lead the person to want to avenge for himself from the person who caused him this anger. then the Shaykh Hafidhullah continued, he says, and there is not anyone from us that does not get angry. However, the wise person and the believer is the one who controls his anger, and he does not act according to it. He does not act according to his anger. As for the foolish person and the ignorant person, then his anger pushes him to commit things which are blameworthy. For example, killing, injuring, speaking with evil speech, cutting ties of kinship. So the Sheikh said, therefore, the anger pushes the person to destruction, except in a situation where he uses it in its correct position or in a correct place, then this person, he would be safe from the consequences of his anger. Then the Sheikh continues and he says, this man who came to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and requested from him that he advises him with an advice that would benefit him. So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, do not get angry. Do not get angry. The Sheikh said, it is as if this person or this man, he belittled this advice. Yes, he belittled this advice, or he saw it something little. So for that reason, he repeated to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to advise me. He said more than once, he said to the Messenger, advise me. And in every time, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam would repeat to him, do not get angry. And he would not add anything to that. The Messenger would not add anything to that. He would only tell him, do not get angry. So the Sheikh said, what is the wisdom here? The Sheikh said, what is the wisdom here? He said, some of the people of knowledge said that perhaps this man was known for being angry. Perhaps this man was known for being angry. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he answers every person according to his need. According to his need and his situation. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he advised this person. And he gave him a specific advice to act upon, while knowing his situation, knowing that this person is a person who gets angry often. And the Sheikh said, however, it is an advice for this person and for the general people as well. This advice of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is specific for the person and for everyone else as well. So every person is obliged, or it is requested from him that he does not get angry because of the consequences that the anger causes and the harms that it causes. And there is not anyone from us which whom does not find in himself any sort of anger. Every person finds himself some anger. However, the Sheikh said, the person, the human being who is a believer and who is intellectual and wise, is the one who has forbearance. He has forbearance, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the attributes of the believers, وَإِذَا مَا غَضِبُوا هُمْ يَغْفِرُونَ, and when they get angry, they forgive. And when they get angry, they forgive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say they do not get angry. He said, when they get angry, they forgive. So the Sheikh said, so the person should forgive and should have forbearance. This is what is required from the person. Therefore, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in another narration, ليس الشديد بالسرعة, the strong person is not the person who is able to beat the people. The Sheikh said السرعة here is the person who is strong and he can beat the people and can overcome them. This, the Sheikh said, this person is not the strong one. However, the strong الشديد الذي يملك نفسه عند الغضب, the strong person is the one who controls himself when he's angry. The strong person is the one who controls himself when angry. The Sheikh said, so this person is the person who is strong because he controls himself when he gets angry. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to get angry, but he will never see it through. He will never act according to his anger. Except in the situations where this anger was for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to always have forbearance, and he would never avenge for himself, for his own personal self. However, and the Sheikh said, he would never avenge for himself on top of that which he had faced from the harm of the people and the way they put hardship upon him. The Sheikh said, however, if one of the prohibitions of Allah was transgressed over, then he would get angry for Allah's sake, not for himself. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would get angry for Allah's sake, and likewise the believer should imitate the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and not get angry for a personal, for your personal self, but however, get angry for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Sheikh said he should have forbearance, and he should forgive, and he should show goodness to the person who angered him and the person who caused him anger. And this is because of the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Then the person who forgives and he rectifies, then his reward is with Allah. So the Sheikh said this is the cure for anger. Firstly, that as much as you can, do not get angry and avoid it. As much as you can, avoid getting angry. Secondly, if you do get angry, do not see it through. Do not act according to your anger. However, rather, upon you is patience patience and forbearance. Upon you is patience and forbearance, and bear the hardship that you faced or the anger that you have faced. So after that, the Sheikh Zayd al-Madkhali, hafidhahullah, he commented this on this briefly, and he said that we had heard the explanation, the summarized explanation and the beneficial explanation which Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, mentioned in his book of the explanation of Fawti Nawawi, and the summary of this topic is that anger is from the natural state of the person. Is the anger is something natural to the person, is from his nature. However, the Sheikh said the person should look at the causes of the anger. The person should look at the causes of the anger, because anger can be something praiseworthy, and some of it can be praiseworthy and some of it can be blameworthy. Yes, and the one which is praiseworthy and the person who gets angry is rewarded. Yes, the Sheikh said is the type of anger when the person seeks to preserve his religion, his manners, and so on. Yes, so the praiseworthy anger is that which was for Allah's sake. Naam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when someone transgresses over the boundaries of Allah, and someone transgresses over Islam, like the ones who curse Islam and they curse the people of knowledge. So the Sheikh said, if the person gets angry at a person who does all of this, he curses Allah, curses the Islam and so on. If the person gets angry at such a person and he clarifies and he warns and he reminds him, gives him an admonition, then this person is rewarded. And he gets a reward for his anger. He gets rewarded for his anger. Even if the person retaliates on to this person, to the transgressor, he retaliates towards him. If this person who transgressed, or the transgressor, if he was from the people who belittle Islam and look down upon Islam, yes. So the Sheikh said, if you retaliate to this kind of person, you get rewarded. So the Sheikh said, so there is no harm in avenging yourself from him with the boundary of the religion. You avenge yourself from this person who transgressed over you with the boundaries of the religion, not exceeding. And this is derived from the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَهُمُ الْبَغِيُ هُمْ يَنْتَصِرُونَ. And the ones when transgression befalls them, or they are transgressed over, they seek victory for themselves. They seek victory for themselves. So the Sheikh said, this transgression is either by way of attacking their honor, attacking their blood or their wealth or anything like that. So these people, when they are attacked or someone transgresses over them, they seek to overcome this, and they seek to overcome this oppression or transgression. So the Sheikh said, so they seek victory over those foolish people, or the foolish people now, that the type of people, those foolish people who, if they were left alone, they would transgress even more. If they were left alone, they would transgress even more. Those are the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about here, that when they transgress over you, you can overcome them. You can seek victory for yourself. Because those people, if left alone, they would exceed the limit. So the Sheikh said, as for the situation between the believers, then some of them may get angry on each other, some of them may get angry on one another. And the Sheikh said, in this situation here, it is recommended that the person is patient. Yes, it is recommended here, in the situation where the anger takes place between the believers, between one another, he said it is recommended that the person who is being oppressed, or he's been transgressed over, he is patient. And he forgives the person and he leaves him and he teaches him. He teaches him that this is wrong. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, praising the believers, he said, أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَعِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. Yes? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, while praising the companions, he said, they are under the state of humility. Yes? Or humiliated towards the believers. But towards the disbelievers, they have dignity. And they're higher than them. So this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said regarding the believers. So the Shaykh said the word here, adhillah, or that they are humiliated or show humility towards the believers. The Shaykh said the meaning here is that they are humble. They have humility towards one another. They forgive each other. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of this, He would write a lot of reward. He would write for them a lot of reward, and they would free from the they would free themselves, and they relieve themselves from entering into harm, which is from the consequences of getting angry. They will relieve themselves and they're free from self from the harm which anger causes. The anger which the shaitan pushes the person into falling in. And the Shaykh said, not every anger is blameworthy, and also not every anger is praiseworthy. Naam. However, it is putting it in the right place. It is putting the particular thing in its right place. This is what is required from the person. Then the Sheikh son Hafidhullah, he moved on to the next hadith number 17, on the authority of Abu Ya'la Shaddad ibn Aus, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that indeed Allah decreed proficiency in everything. So if you kill, then kill well, and if you slaughter, then slaughter well, and let one of you sharpen his blade and spare his animal any suffering. Narrated by Imam Muslim. So Sheikh Salih Fawzan, Hafidhullah, he mentioned in his commentary on this hadith, yarhamukallah, that indeed Allah had written or had prescribed ihsan. He had prescribed perfection or proficiency in everything. So the Sheikh said here, prescribed means that he has made it obligatory. Prescribed here means that he made it obligatory. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He obligated ihsan, perfection or proficiency in everything. And from these things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obligated ihsan in is when a person kills, he kills well, and when he slaughters well. So the Shaykh said, ihsan takes place between the slave and his lord, and also between the slave, the person, and other people, and between the slave and the animals. So between the slave and Allah, between the slave and the people, between the slave and the animals. As for the ihsan, or the perfection in relation to that which is between the slave and his lord, then this is the highest place in the or highest level of the levels of the religion. It's the highest level of the levels of religion, and this is when the person worships his lord as if he sees him, and he does not associate anything with him, and he's afraid of him, and he seeks he's hopeful of him. And the Shaykh said it is had preceded the explanation of Hadith Jibreel, when he asked the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding ihsan, and he said to him, ihsan is that you worship Allah as if you see him, though you do not see him, that he surely sees you. The Shaykh says this ihsan is between the slave and his lord, and its meaning is to be proficient and to perfect your worship. The Shaykh said, it is said, in the Arabic language, أحسن الشيء إذا أتقنه. أحسن الشيء, when you say he performed ihsan in a particular thing, means he perfected it and he was proficient in it. Okay, this note every week. So when the person, you could say أحسن الشيء, he performed ihsan in a particular thing, means he was proficient in it or he perfected it. Yes, the Shaykh said, أحسن الصنعة إذا أتقنها. He perfected that which he's doing, any action what he's doing, he's making something or he's performing something. If he perfected it. So the Shaykh says, so you perfect the worship between you and Allah Azza wa Jal by way of being sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and following the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As for ihsan between the abd, between the slave and the people, then this takes place by way of rewarding the person who does good to you, and to forgive and look past the person who transgresses over you, or he treats you in a bad way, and you give charity to the person from the people who is poor or who is in need. So you perfect your dealings with them in terms of your speech and your action, and you deal with them in the best manner. You deal with them in the best manner, and you perfect your dealing and interaction with them as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger commanded. Okay, likewise the Sheikh said, ihsan between the slave or between the human being and the animals. Yes, the human being when he shows ihsan to the animals. And the Sheikh said, and this is by way of feeding the animals which are hungry. Any animal that is hungry or any animal that is thirsty, you show ihsan to them by feeding them or giving them a drink, and also by reducing the pain or the suffering that they have. And if they suffer from any pain or any injuries, then you provide cure for them. And the Sheikh said this is in relation to the animals that do not harm the people. This is in reference to the animals that do not harm the people, even the dogs. Because the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith, whilst a dog was walking past and he was very thirsty, was about to die from thirst, a woman, a fornicating woman from the woman of Bani Israel saw him. So she took off something here. Allah alam, I don't know exactly what it says here. Muqaha here. She took something from her garment or something like she had, and she filled it up with water and she served it to the dog. And the dog, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had forgiven this fornicating woman because of the action she did. Naam. And the Sheikh said, والبغي here, because the word here says من بغايا. Yes, so the Sheikh said البغي here is الزاني, is the fornicating woman. And fornication is the greatest sin and the most evil of crimes after shirk. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven her because of the goodness she has shown to the dog. In another narration, the Sheikh says, whilst the man was walking, he was very thirsty. He became very thirsty. So he went down a well and he drank from it. Then he came out and he saw a dog sticking his tongue. He saw a dog very thirsty, and he would eat the wet sand around the well because of from the severity of the thirst. So the man said, this dog had reached in being thirsty that which had reached me. He's thirsty as I was thirsty before. Yes, so he took off his shoe and he held it with his mouth. He went down the well and he filled it up with water, and he came back out and he gave it to the dog. Yes, so the dog here, he thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven him. He has forgiven this person. So the Sahaba, when they heard this, they said, O Messenger of Allah, do we have reward, or do we get rewarded for treating animals in a good way? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, everything that has a moist liver, you get a reward for. Everything that has a moist liver, you get a reward for. So the obligation upon the person is to show goodness to the animals, just like you show goodness to the people. So the obligation upon the animal is to show goodness to the obligation upon the person to show goodness to the animals, just like he shows goodness and ihsan to the people. So the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, إِذَا قَتَلْتُمْ. So when you kill, the Sheikh said, this is if you carry out a prescribed punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you kill a person as a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَأَحْسِنُ الْقِتْلَ, then kill him, kill well. So the Sheikh said, if someone was worthy of being killed or death sentencing by way of a prescribed punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you show goodness to him in killing him, and you do not punish him and torture him before killing him. You do not punish him or torture him before killing him, and you do not kill him with a tool that causes him suffering or tortures him while you're killing him. But you rush into killing him and you finish him off quickly without any pain. Yes, without causing any hardship for him. Yes, so the Sheikh said, because punishing the person or torturing him is a great oppression, or is an oppression that is not permissible. As for killing him, then it is legislated. If he's deserving of it, killing him is legislated. So it is to be carried out in the easiest way possible. And even if he was a disbeliever, and he deserved to be killed due to his disbelief, then you still do not punish, torture him as well when killing him. But however, you finish him quickly and you rush into killing him without يعني torturing him. And the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَإِذَا قَتَلْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا قِتْلَ. When you kill, then kill well. The Sheikh says this is general for the disbelievers as well, for the believers and for the disbelievers. The statement of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَإِذَا ذَبَحْتُمْ. And when you slaughter, the Sheikh said here the animals which are يعني permissible for the person to slaughter, or the animals which you slaughter for either يعني for worship, you slaughter them for worship, or you slaughter them to eat from them. And the Sheikh said, oh, you slaughter them, yeah, or you kill them because of the harm, to stop their harm. Like, for example, lions and dogs that attack people and so on. So the Sheikh said, the Messenger said, فَأَحْسِنُ الذِّبْحِ. So slaughter them well. Slaughter well. So the Sheikh said, do not torture the animal that is being slaughtered by way of dragging him to being slaughtered. يعني, you're dragging him by force. Or, يعني, you drag the animal from its ears. You drag the animal from its ears, or again you يعني, you slaughter the animal with a tool that is يعني, painful, something that is painful, like something that puts the animal through suffering. Yes, or the Sheikh said by way of putting the animal on the floor, getting the animal ready to be slaughtered, and you leave it for a long time in that state before killing it. You leave it for a long time, and you get occupied with something else while the animal is still waiting for you. يعني to be slaughtered, and you're still holding it. Yes, so the Sheikh said this is not permissible because this is torturing the animal, and it's punishing the animal. And the obligation is that you slaughter the animal in the easiest way possible. And if you slaughter the animal, do not rush into يعني taking the skin off before the animal dies completely. Do not slaughter يعني cut the skin of the animal before it dies completely. Be patient until the animal is completely dead and cold, then start يعني, cutting the parts and so on, and cutting the skin off. So the Sheikh said, as long as there's movement and there's a soul in the animal, then do not combine between two punishments. The punishment or the two tortures. The torture of killing the animal and the torture of يعني, slaughtering or cutting the parts of it while it's still alive. Yes, so do not combine between the two, but rather leave it until it dies, completely dies. Likewise, the Sheikh said, from perfection of slaughtering is that the person is qualified or is يعني, he's experienced in slaughtering. Yes, so it is not befitting or it is wrong that a person who is ignorant of the way to slaughter and he seeks to learn يعني, on the animal, and he wants to learn by learning on the animal. So the Sheikh said this is wrong, and he ends up يعني, trying to learn slaughtering the animal, and he ends up torturing the animal. So the Sheikh said no one should slaughter except the one who knows how to slaughter. Yes, and he knows the right way to do it. Then the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَلَيُحِدَّ أَحَدَكُمْ شَفْرَتَهُ. And let one of you, يعني the one who is intending to slaughter, sharpen his blade. Let him sharpen his blade. The Sheikh said, "Shafra here, which translates as blade. The shafra here, whether it is for killing, like sword, yeah, when you kill like a person, for example, sword, or for slaughtering, like a knife." Slaughtering like a knife. So blade here is referring to any of them. So the Sheikh said it is a must that it is sharp enough so that it cuts quickly. It cuts through quickly. يعني. قال وليريح ذبيحته. And the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, and let him يعني not cause any suffering to his animal. Let him not cause any suffering to his animal. The Sheikh said, meaning that he slaughters the animal in a way that is comfortable, and he does not drag the animal, and he does not beat it before يعني slaughtering it, and he does not Islam. He does not prolong holding the animal in a position of slaughtering without slaughtering, but rather he should rush to slaughter it so that the animal يعني is relieved, so that the animal is relieved, and this is what from the things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has obligated, and this is from the beauty of this religion, that it is a religion of perfection, it is a religion of ihsan, and it is not a religion of transgression and avenging and revenge, seek revenge for yourself without any lawful right. So that was the explanation of Sheikh Saleh Fawzan. Sheikh Zayd al-Madkhali, Habibullah, he commented on this and he said, in this hadith, we had heard that what the Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, Habibullah, had written in relation to, or in regards to, ihsan, perfection. And the Sheikh said, and this is from the levels of Islam. This is from the levels of Islam and Iman. And the Sheikh said, ihsan is more, or is higher in rank and more specific than Iman. Just like Iman is higher and more specific than Islam. And all of them, all of these three levels, Islam, Iman and Ihsan, are light and guidance. All of those three are light and guidance. And the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam named all three of them, and he described them by saying they are the religion. They are the religion. As in the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam, when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in the end of the hadith, هذا جبريل أتاكم ليعلمكم دينكم. So he said at the end of the hadith of Jibreel, this is Jibreel, he came to you to teach you your religion. He came to you to teach you your religion. The Sheikh said after the conversation took place and the questions were put forward by Jibreel alayhi salam, and he asked him about Islam and its pillars. He asked him about Iman and its pillars. And he asked him about Ihsan and its pillar. Yes? So after the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is Jibreel, he came to you to teach you your religion. So the Messenger described those three as the religion. And also, the Sheikh said, Ihsan has importance, perfection here has is very important. And for that reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he advised of Ihsan, and he advised the people to achieve Ihsan. And he said, عز وجل وأحسنوا إن الله يحب المحسنين. He said, perfect your actions, or perfect your duties. Indeed Allah loves those who achieve Ihsan, or those who perfect their duties. And the Sheikh said, and it is sufficient reward for the person who performs Ihsan that Allah, he achieves the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is sufficient reward that the person achieves the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by performing Ihsan. So it is from the love of Allah subhanahu, it is from the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he bestowed his love upon the muhsin, upon the person who achieves ihsan. Yes? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, wa ahsin kama ahsana Allah ilayk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and show goodness just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown you goodness, or perfection. The Sheikh said, and Ihsan has two categories, or it can be divided into two. The first one is the complete and the perfect Ihsan. The complete and the perfect Ihsan. And this is what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in his statement, أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه, that you worship Allah as if you see Him. You worship Allah as if you see Him. This is the perfect and the complete Ihsan. And the Sheikh said, meaning that you worship Allah as you are able to see Him. And whosoever worships Allah as if he sees Him, then he will perfect his actions of worship. He will perfect his duties to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second one is less than the first one, the Sheikh said. The second category is less than the first, the complete Ihsan. This one is from the statement, is derived from the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he says, in the completion of the statement of Ihsan, فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. When you do not, though that you do not see Allah, He surely sees you. Though you do not see Allah, He surely sees you. So the Sheikh said, this means that you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while knowing that He is able to see you at all times. So you feel shyness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from falling into that which He prohibited and leaving that which He commanded. You feel shy from that. And the Sheikh said, Ihsan, you perform Ihsan, for example, in Aqeedah, you perfect your Aqeedah, meaning the inner actions, actions to do with the belief, and the inner actions. For example, you rectify and you perfect your intention, your niyyah, you perfect your hope from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you perfect your fear of Allah, and you perfect your fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of those are from the actions of the heart. All of those are from the actions of the heart, so the inner actions. Likewise, also you perform Ihsan, or you achieve Ihsan, in the outer actions, the apparent actions. and you perform these actions as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded you, and how His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam legislated, such as salah, zakah, hajj, commanding the good, forbidding the evil, jihad in the way of Allah, and on top, the in the foremost and at the front of that is jihad al-nafs, striving against yourself and seeking knowledge, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so on. Yes, and also in that you worship Allah in everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had prescribed for the people to worship Him with. So you perfect everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed, and all the types of worship that He prescribed, that the ones which the people worship Him with. So you perfect all of them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a result, He will be pleased with His slaves, and He will love them. Na'am? The Shaykh said, likewise, he should perfect and show goodness between him and the creation as well, the people, by way of giving them their due rights. Give the people their due rights, whether these rights are obligatory upon you or recommended. You give the people their due rights, whether these rights are obligatory or recommended. Yes, and all of that, the Shaykh says, all of that, if you do achieve all of this, then this necessitates the love of Allah. This necessitates the love of Allah. And the Shaykh said, and the best action which you can perfect your worship to Allah with is teaching the people Tawheed. And I'm teaching the people the beneficial knowledge. And the Shaykh said, teaching them the knowledge which is the beneficial knowledge which helps the people in this life, in the life of the grave and the hereafter, that which benefits them. So the person who spreads the knowledge, then this person, he's like a mujahid, the person who spreads the knowledge, and he's also a perfectionist, يعني محسن, he's also a perfectionist, with the condition that he is qualified to do so, with the condition that he's qualified to teach. And the Shaykh said, so everyone, he sticks to that which is capable of. Everyone sticks to his boundary. Whatever you know, whatever you have of knowledge, then you teach it and you stick to it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would reward you for this. And you will be from the people who are perfectionists or who are muhsineen. And the Shaykh said, even if the person knows Surah Al-Fatiha and he teaches it to another person, seeking a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he will be he teaches another person purification or wudu, yes, and seeking a reward from Allah, then this person will be from the people who are muhsineen and perfectionist, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love him, and he will have the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. هذا وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.